Welcome with me, Pastor John Higlin of Calvary Chapel, the Siskiyous.
Thank you, brother. Well, good morning. Good morning. Well, pace yourself. It's going to be a good long day in Christ, and we prayed for you not to fall asleep, so there you go. And you can't on me. I'm the first guy out, so all right. All right. Well, pleasure to be here. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our teaching today. We're going to be in 2 Timothy, as you already know, chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 6 through 8. But I've got one little section, and I'll share that with you, but let's go ahead and pray as we begin the conference and looking into God's Word. Father, we indeed are blessed to be called men of God, Lord. And Lord, we're going to be, as Pastor Rommel shared, exhorted and encouraged and comforted and met by your Holy Spirit in many ways today, Father. And we pray you'll do that perfect work, God, that each and every heart, that each and every man and person here today, Father God, will be blessed in a way that they've never been blessed, Lord. So do that perfect and good work, because you are a good, good Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have any golfers out there? No golfers, huh? All right. They're already hazing me on my first intro, huh? There we go. I see a hand. All right. Well, once there was a golfer who really needed to make a putt to stay ahead of his competitors, and as he was looking over his putt, a stranger walked up and said, "Would you be willing to give up a quarter of your sex life to sink that putt?" Guy thought for a minute. He said, "Well, sure, why not?" His 40-foot putt rolled right into the cup. Amazing. Well, later in the round, he had a 4-iron into a par 5, and he really needed to make up a number of shots with the competition. Oh, if he could just eagle this hole. And so the same stranger, he walks up and he asks, and he said to him, "Would you be willing to give another quarter of your sex life to make an eagle on this hole?" The guy thought for a moment. "Oh, why not?" And so he launched his shot, and it hit, went right into the green. It bounced two times, and it rolled right into the hole. Well, on the final hole on a par 3, the golfer was two shots down. The other guys were on track for a bogey, and he needed a hole-in-one to win. And so just as he addressed the ball, the stranger shows up again, and he asked and he said, "Would you be willing to give up the rest of your sex life to make this hole-in-one?" Well, the golfer, I mean, a really intense competitor, he couldn't stand to lose, and so he said, "Well, okay." And he hit his 180-yard shot, and it went straight for the flag, bounced on the green, and rolled right into the cup, a winning ace. Well, as the golfer was walking off the course, the same stranger appears by his side. He says, Hey, we've got to talk." He said, "Let me introduce myself. I'm the devil. And now you have no sex life whatsoever." Well, the golfer smiled at him, reached at his hand, and he said, "Nice to meet you. My name is Father O'Malley." All right. My wife said I couldn't use that, but it is a men's conference, isn't it? What's the moral of that story? Well, some sacrifices are no sacrifice at all. We're going to get real with you guys today, and I look forward to that. And I hope you're ready to get real. Real with God, real with one another. If you got something you got to share or pray about, don't leave today without coming forward for prayer. Find a brother. You know, find someone who you feel confident in praying with. meet with God today. We're here to meet with God, aren't we? To meet with our Lord Jesus Christ and to be real with one another. And, you know, we've already been real, right? We've ran into each other in the restroom a few times. And, you know, we've had some food together or last night. And so, you know, God wants us to continue, though, to be genuine and real and to enjoy one another in the fellowship that we have in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so today's an opportunity. Don't waste it, guys. You know, we only get to do this once a year. Let's take it full advantage of the opportunity. We're around other men, and this is a great day, isn't it? A great opportunity to get off what you need to get off your chest, and certainly God hears our prayers, and He wants us to just be real. And so we'll be hearing different people share on different topics about faith, and so as the Lord ministers to you, as you feel free at some point, if you just got to say, you know, I got to talk, you know, whenever that is, wherever that is, at whatever course of the day, please do so. Now, what's our logo? What's on our flyer? Well, our flyer, of course, says keep it, right? And any of you guys were wondering, what does that mean? Keep it? Well, it means what? It means keep the faith. Keep the faith. I even had to call Pastor Romel to make sure I was right on with that. But keep what? Keep the faith. As a young boy growing up and seeking out and pursuing a career in sports casting, I was always appreciative and had a great respect for a ex-athlete by the name of Jim Hill, who was a sports anchor. And I don't know if any of you from Southern California grew up having listened to Jim Hill. I think he's still on TV, isn't he? Still on the network of CBS. And I'd hear him in the 80s, and he would say something at the very end of his sports segment. Do you remember what that was? Keep the faith. Of course, I didn't really understand that from a spiritual perspective. I wasn't saved back then, but it did leave its mark on me because I never forgot it, which is to say, keep the faith. I never forgot what Jim Hill would end his sports program with. You see, men, God wants us to keep it. To keep what? To keep the faith. As various pastors and men come up here to talk about keeping it, keeping the faith, we're going to hear various experiences and stories, aren't we, of how faith has been worked out in their lives, in their ministries, in the activities and things that they do in their life. And the same is true for all of you. You all have testimonies and stories of faith where God has worked in your life and through your life, whether it was on the golf course or on the ball field, or across the courts of America, and certainly in all various facets of life, we have seen God work in our lives, and we've seen, no doubt, faith in action. Back to Jim Hill, Keep the Faith, reminds me of a band that I know you're also familiar with, and that's the band Journey. You all know Journey, okay? And Journey's still popular today. I just heard them sing a song. It was either last night or this morning, but on some program. But Journey's out there. They're still out there. But again, there was a song that Journey put out many, many years ago, and it was called Don't Stop Believing. Again, I was just a teenager when I first heard that song and caught on to its catchy lyrics and would sing it often. But again, it reminds me that God had something for me later on, little did I know, and that was a journey of faith, a journey of faith in Jesus Christ. And while I'd heard the word faith, I really didn't know what it meant until I came to faith in Jesus Christ and then began to study His Word, and I realized that I was wrong about faith, that biblical faith is the only faith that counts. You know, we could sing with Journey all through our journey of life, Don't Stop Believing, but that really won't have any real lasting value or impact if our life isn't about a journey of faith in Jesus Christ. That's why it's very clear when you read in 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Bible does declare to us to make sure, to examine ourselves, to make sure that we are in the faith. I gave my life to Jesus Christ in October 16th, 1991. That was, you know, what, 25 years ago? And 25 years now later, I'm still standing in the faith. I hit the big 5-0 last month. But you know, yes, I'm still standing and I'm here today, 25 years after having received Christ, but I'm reminding of a verse. Reminded of a verse. It's in Jude, in verse 24. It says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." You see, I'm up here standing today by the grace of God because he is good, because he is faithful, because he is the one who keeps me. He is the one who keeps each and every one of you. And so I am able to keep the faith because he enables me. Now, we could be thinking along this journey that there's a lot who've sort of fallen off or away from the journey. Maybe you're thinking of a brother or person that you know or folks that you know that aren't still walking in the faith. Well, I'm not going to answer for them today, but I do want to speak to all of you. And maybe there's a chance, as we've already said, as Rumel was prepping for the various topics that are coming up to be taught on, that's where you're at today. Maybe you're considering wandering away, or maybe you've been away, and it's time to truly get back into the faith, to come back into the game. You know, maybe you just forgot about it, or maybe you just kind of left it to the wayside, or maybe you purposely left it. Today's the day, isn't it? Today's the day to come back, to get back into the game. Now, my portion is in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. In the first half of the first sentence, let me go ahead and read with you now. Let's go back to our verses today, 6, 7, and 8. Let me read them in 2 Timothy chapter 4. As Paul writes, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Faith that offers, faith that sacrifices. Verse 6 again, it says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering." Now let's just spend a few moments there. In previous verses, including verse 6, the apostle gives two strong reasons for the charge that he has just given. And I think it would be wise to go back and see what that charge is and let the scriptures develop that to us, because if you go back to verse 1 of that same chapter, chapter 4, it says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." Well, I don't know about you, but I read that, and that's a word to me, you know? So I think that's a word to all of us. We are to fulfill the ministry that God has called each and every one of us into. Now, the two strong reasons for the charge that Paul has just given, the first is that there will be a general turning away from wholesome doctrine. The second is that Paul's time of departure is at hand. The apostle foresees a time when people will show a positive distaste for health-giving teaching. They will fully turn away from those who teach the truth of God's word. Their ears will itch for doctrines that are pleasing and comfortable, to satisfy their lust for novel and gratifying doctrine. They will accumulate a group of teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. And so that was in verse 3, but then in verse 4, we also see there will be this lust for inoffensive preaching that will cause people to turn their ears away from the truth to myths. It is a poor exchange to sacrifice truth for fables, but this is the wretched reward of those who refuse sound doctrine. And then verse 5, to be watchful in all things really means to be sober in all things. Timothy should be serious in his work, temperate, and well-balanced. He should not shun afflictions, but should suffer willingly whatever hardships might come to him in his service for Christ. Now, verse 5, there is some difference of opinion as to the expression to do the work. If you notice there, as an evangelist, some think that Timothy actually was an evangelist and that here Paul was simply telling him to carry out this ministry. Others think that Timothy did not have the gift of evangelism, being perhaps a pastor or teacher, but this should not prevent him from preaching the gospel as occasion arose. It seems likely, though, that Timothy actually was an evangelist and that Paul's words are simply an encouragement for him to be all that evangelists should be. In every respect, he should fulfill his ministry, devoting his finest talents to all the demands of his service. Now, going to verse 6, where he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering." Let me share a little about that with you guys. The second reason for Paul's solemn charge to Timothy was his own approaching death. He was now about to be poured out as a drink offering. He likens the shedding of his blood in martyrdom to the pouring out of a drink offering over a sacrifice. Now, what is this? What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about something that happened in the Old Testament. What is a drink offering? Well, there were no specific instructions given by God to the Israelites concerning the drink offering. However, it is mentioned again and again in Exodus and Leviticus. The wine was taken and poured over the sacrifice, which of course was really hot because it was on a brazen altar with fire underneath it. You know exactly what would happen. The drink offering would go up in steam. It would just evaporate and disappear. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. I have just poured out my life as a drink offering on the sacrifice of Christ. It has been nothing for me, but everything for him. You see, Paul's life would soon disappear, and all that could be seen was Christ. And this is one of the most wonderful figures of speech that he has used. You know, so many Christians try to be remembered by having their names chiseled in stone or by having a building named in their memory. And Paul was not interested in that type of thing. He says, my life is a drink offering poured out. Christ, not Paul, is the one who is to be exalted. This is a very rich passage of Scripture. Kind of look at it from this angle. Paul's epitaph is divided into two sections. The first is retrospect, in which Paul looks back into his earthly life that is right before he is executed. And then the second part of the epitaph is the prospect. He is looking forward to eternal life. The earthly life and the eternal life are separated by what we call death down here. When I was asked to come up and share by Romel here for the conference, I was honored, no doubt indeed. It's a blessing to come up here and teach, no doubt. And then I saw him, the first guy out. I thought, wow, you know, that's new for me. I haven't done that at a conference, the first guy out. I shared here, I don't know how many years back it was, maybe 7 or 8. Denny Stahl was just telling me, at 14 years we've been doing the conference, and I don't know what year it was. I had the opportunity to share, and then I think the next year it was that I actually oversaw the conference and so forth. And got to kind of be the MC for it. But the reason I'm telling you all this is because some years ago, I was injured in it, and I received a pretty bad concussion that I still deal with, and whiplash. And then on top of that, the last 4 years, not this year included, but I've also been dealing with getting walking pneumonia right at the tail end of December, and it usually goes to about the end of March. And so I've had to kind of cut back on some of the things I do and don't do, even in ministry to a certain extent. And I haven't been able to be involved at as many planning meetings, especially the last 4 years. But here's the deal, and why I'm sharing that all with you guys, is that, you know, it's tough, isn't it, sometimes when we deal with these battles and these things that we go through, and we know God wants us to fulfill our ministry, and we know that God wants us to continue to keep serving Him. It was Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, who I was always inspired by, and my pastor, David Rosales of Chino Valley, that, you know, there is no such thing as retirement. You know, you just keep going. And, you know, I'm thinking I'm only 50 now, and, you know, and I've gone through my trials, and I don't have as much gas as I used to have. But, again, I'm reminded that it's faith that sacrifices and faith that offers. And so what that really means is I'm just going to have to trust in the Lord even more. Amen? I mean, that's what it really comes down to. You know, and you guys, some of you guys have far worse things that you battle with physically than even what I just mentioned to you. But the reason I can even stand up here today and be able to do this teaching is not me, it's God. And, you know, I attribute it all to Jesus Christ. It's He who gives me strength. Isn't that what Paul said in Philippians 4? That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I think about being poured out as a drink offering, my first inclination is well, pouring out something, you know, whatever that is, especially if it's a beverage, pouring it out. But there's a lot of symbolism, isn't there, in that term here in verse 6, when he says, for I am already being what? Poured out as a drink offering. Now, poured out may be what you have in your translation and a couple other Bible versions. The word sacrificed or offered may have been used. You know what the Greek word is for it? Spendo. Poured out, spendo. It means to pour out oneself. And so, what a neat illustration. You know, in Philippians, Paul said something very similar. Philippians 2 and 17, jot that verse down. In Philippians 2, 17, Paul said, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. When I read what the Apostle Paul talks about and how he described a drink offering or a libation as it was poured over the sacrifice, and it was really Paul speaking out about pouring out his life as a sacrifice. Man, I look at Paul. Do you guys do this? Do you read your Bibles and you're like, man, Paul, he's such the giant, you know, of the faith. And, oh, man, I don't even come close, you know. And I read that and then I go to Hebrews 11, and maybe we'll hear some teachings from Hebrews 11 as well, since we're talking about faith. And I look at the heroes of the faith, and I think, man, I'm nowhere near those guys. I'm a lightweight, especially the latter portion of that. When you read from the second part of verse 36 to verse 40, it says, you know, but others were tortured, you know, and you see what they went through, how they suffered for the faith. Man, you know, I fail in comparison. And so, I don't stand up here in any way, shape, or form feeling that I'm arrived, and I feel even weaker today in many ways than I did 25 years earlier when I gave my life to Christ. But you know what? I know God will enable. I know that God will keep me. The reason I brought up all those various little things that have happened in my life the last number of years is, again, to just let you know that God's faithful. I even had, for a moment, when Romel called and said, you know, would you like to send me a text, I think it was the first time, or an email, would you like to teach? And of course I'd like to teach. I'd love to teach, but I had to pause because, I mean, for the last 4 years, I even missed a conference, you know. By the grace of God, I've only missed one time when I was supposed to teach that I was so sick, so leveled out on the floor, that I actually couldn't do it. But for 20 years of teaching, I've been able to teach, and except the one conference I couldn't come to, I was so sick. And I just stop and think, man, am I going to ever kick this pneumonia or walking pneumonia thing when it comes up? You know, what do I got to do? And so I've had to make sure I did as much as I could on my part. You know, I used to eat all the kids' leftover food. I got little kids at the house, you know, and I just eat what was there and drink their cups. They didn't finish their milk. I ain't doing that no more, you know. Whatever I can do to avoid sicknesses, you know. And I will tell you, it's God who keeps me, but he also gives me some wisdom, right? And so I'm here today, and I feel a lot better. This has been one of the best last few months, you know, that I've had physically in a long, long time. Praise the Lord. Amen, you know. A couple of guys, though, I know are sick, and when one of the guys was sharing that he was really sick, to pray for him, and that's going to happen. We know that. But again, you know, as I'm sharing this with you, what I like to exhort you guys in and share with you is that, you know what? Whatever you think is really going to end up being a sacrifice or something so difficult that you can't do, God will meet you where you're at, okay? You know, it really isn't a sacrifice to come down here Friday night and go have steak at Cattleman's. I'll get kind of a break from things. Come down here and just worship the Lord last night. Then come down here today and get to hear wonderful worship. Get to get fed the Word of God. I mean, what kind of sacrifice is that, you know? That's all good. And so I thank God for the opportunity to be here to share with you guys once again. But I do want to say this as I end here. God's calling us, though, to be willing to sacrifice, to be willing to offer. Do you have a home church, guys? Do you fellowship somewhere that you call your home, that a home church? You need to do that. If you don't have a home church, you need to find one. Find a place where you can serve. Ask your pastor, ask the leadership, how can I be of help? How can I offer to help, to sacrifice, to carry on some of the work and burden that those leaders or that those pastors are going through? Involve yourself once again in the kingdom work. Be willing to be poured out as a drink offering. Demonstrate that faith that offers. And you might say, yeah, but man, my health is a mess. God can still use you. Well, I don't know what it's going to cost me. Well, John Henry Jowett said, faith that costs nothing, or ministry that costs nothing, accomplishes nothing. We got to be willing, guys, to get in there, to mix it up. But how am I going to do it? God will enable you. God will empower you. And he wants to do that today. And if you need that fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, we're going to make that opportunity for you today. It may cost you. You may have to give up something, but it'll be worth it. Because Jesus Christ, he is worth it. Amen? All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that the ultimate sacrifice has been paid, Lord. And so now we're asking you, Lord, to increase our faith. Lord, for those who've wandered from the faith, to get back in it, Lord. For each and every message shared, song sung, thing that is done today, Lord, be glorified. May you get the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
I have to tell you, John, that when I had heard that you were sick, I thought all the more he should come and teach. And that'll really break him of his kids' food, you know? Listen, one of the things John had shared, I think it's important that the days in which we're living in, the times, you sense the urgency, is offering our lives. Paul said this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I think a real practical thing for you to do is to prioritize what you're investing all your time in, all your energy in, and begin to just reevaluate and then make a new list and pray about that, where the Lord would have you to focus in to serve him. We put our energy into so many different things. I mean, John asked if there are many golfers here today. And I know a lot of Christians, they just golf all the time. And that's their focus of their life. They're not professional golfers. They're wannabe professional golfers. But reevaluating and setting your priorities in your lives to do the things that the Lord would want you to do so that you can confidently say, my life is an offering to the Lord.